Inside on Business, the news hour, is made possible with support of the Strudelhaus, the Metro's only authentic Austrian cafe, bakery, and wine bar, strudelhaus.com. And RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts, with offices across the greater Des Moines Metro. Find them at realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to the news hour. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. With us is Mike Benasiak from Legacy Financial Group. We're going to be talking about financial security. How do you get to that point? Welcome to the NewsHour, Mike. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell me, what is Legacy Financial Group first?
Legacy Financial is a locally owned financial advisory firm in Urbandale.
Well, that was easy.
Yeah.
All right. So when we talk about financial literacy and when we talk about security, it's shocking how many individuals here in the United States are in debt, or they have large indebtedness with regard to student loans. Savings plans are simply not there. Does all that point to inability to understand financial matters?
It does. We can sling around statistics all day long about some of the financial struggles that people have here in the United States. I mean, the last year alone, the average credit card debt for a U.S. household was $15,700, and that's for every household on average. We've got about 83% of people that are financially stressed, and that obviously impacts their workplace performance. Something between, if you have access to a retirement plan at work, still 40% of Americans have less than $25,000 in savings for retirement. If you don't have access to a retirement plan at work, that number jumps to 87%. 96% of Americans don't feel like they're prepared for retirement. So it's pretty tragic, and that's exactly what we're trying to do.
One of the services that Legacy Financial Group offers is an opportunity for people in their, even in their workplace, to better understand what financial security might mean. But are you selling something?
We are not, and that is one of the things, and I know that that is a bad stigma that our industry has, because a lot of people, they want to get in front of you, and obviously they've got an ultimate product. But we try to make it very clear that when we are educating, that is all we are doing, is educating. If people choose to then reach out to us after the fact, you know, we always offer a free consultation, something along the lines of, you know, if you have questions that you don't feel comfortable asking during the programs, that's fine. We'll sit and meet at you. But even with those personal conversations, it is up to that person to then pursue us to take further action. But these are purely educational topics, programs where we hope you're able to walk out the door with a clearer or more confident understanding of what you can do today to take action in order to become more financially stable in your life.
Well, let's give some folks an idea of what the curriculum might look like.
Yep. So we take a very building block approach to our financial education. And depending on what the company or organization's demographics and needs are, we can start from the very beginning and we can move on to more advanced topics. But the thing to remember is that, you know, if your employees are financially stressed and they don't even have a good handle on their cash flow, we can't start to talk about investments. We can't start to talk about, all right, what do you need to do to retire in the next 5 years? No, we need to bring it back to the very basics. You know, how do you take better control of your cash flow? How are you going to account, evaluate, and then allocate better with your budget? And then we can move on to say, all right, now we have some additional money, even if it's just a few bucks a week, to save. Now what do we do with it? So depending on what the demographics, whether it's age range or situation of whatever organization we're speaking at, we have a wide range of topics that we can talk about.
You said a magic word just a minute ago. Every single business that I know of, our business, your business, everybody has a budget. However, many individuals simply fail to have a family budget. Is that one of the first building blocks?
Absolutely, and a lot of that stems from communication in the first place. This thing called the financial education, financial literacy, there is no magic bullet. In fact, one of the most common presentations we give, that's like the first or second slide. This is not easy stuff. This stuff takes hard work. It takes consistency, developing productive habits, and you have to put it in front of your face. We get it. Everyone's got jobs. Everyone's got lives. Everyone's got hobbies, but you need to take some time to develop those positive habits, and that's going to take work, and the first step is communicating with yourself, communicating with your significant other, What you can do today to manage that budget, what the budget is, and ultimately, are you spending less than you're making? I mean, that's 101 right there.
You know, we saw a startling statistic and had it on the NewsHour a couple of weeks ago about what it was like in the 1970s relative to what it was like today, and consumer patterns with regard to what they're buying and what they're spending. It's remarkable. In the 1970s, more people had more money in the bank. They had many more opportunities with regard to savings. Oftentimes, one person was working rather than two people. So we've built this economy on consumables, but still people are falling behind.
Yes, and that's the other trend that we're seeing is the fact that not only are people's savings patterns different, but the bigger issue with that is the onus is more on us as individuals now to save for our retirements and other financial goals. So not only are we saving less, but there are less pensions out there. There are less defined benefit plans. There are less and less Social Security opportunities and more of those loopholes and other things being closed or limited or rules being changed. And so it's a very disturbing trend to see savings go down, but the reliance is going to be more on us to develop those habits. So
we're talking with Mike Benasiak. He is with Legacy Financial Group in Urbandale. We're talking about financial literacy. Where do you start? How do you get this thing going? What is it that's standing in the way of maybe you making sure that you'll have something in the future, more than just a car payment and a house payment? With regard to budgets, what's the next step? Once my family gets a budget together, so we're talking about, okay, this is what comes in, this is what goes out, where do you start making adjustments so that you do have some money left over at the end of the month so you can put into savings?
Well, and I think you said it right there. Is the first thing is stepping back and actually looking at what you're bringing in. I guarantee everyone that's listening today knows exactly the dollar amount that gets direct deposited into their checking account every single pay period. But do you know where that money goes? Mm. And there are very basic ways of tracking that. And whether you're low-tech or high-tech, I mean, take a sheet of paper and wrap it around your debit card, and every time you swipe that debit or credit card, write down on that sheet of paper the date, what you bought, where it was at, and the dollar amount. That's your incredibly low-tech. Try that for a week, just a week, and I think you'll be amazed at where that money's going. Or you can use a online program like Mint.com, which has gotten national recognition, and you can link your iPhone, your iPod, your computer, and once you download all that information from your checking accounts, from your savings accounts, from credit card accounts, it reads all that information, organizes it for you, and you can create budgets off of that that'll send you automatic alerts when you're getting close to those budgetary amounts. So you have to find out what method is right for you, and more importantly, what method you're going to follow through on, and then we like to simplify from there. It only takes a few dollars a week to start saving. One of our presentations, we talk about finding your $8, finding your $10 a week, because that can add up to thousands upon thousands of dollars over a course of time, which will produce, because of compound interest, produce even more thousands of dollars in retirement. So it doesn't have to be, oh my gosh, I have to increase my savings by 5% a day or 5% a year right now. No, take an incremental step. Little habits. How can you find $10 this week to save? And then how do you do that every week? And then once you develop that habit, now can we increase it to 15? Now can we increase it to 20? And you'll be amazed at how quickly that adds up for you.
When we talk about compounding interest rates and those types of things, banks are notoriously right now at low interest rates. There are opportunities in some bond funds and some other things, and I don't want to ask you for a recommendation because we don't want to do that. But where do you go? Where do you start to put that money once you've saved $100, $200, maybe $400?
Well, the first thing that you have to keep in mind is that before we start talking any type of retirement investments or other financial objectives, do you have an emergency fund in place? Mm-hmm. That is step number one. And unfortunately, an emergency fund needs to be liquid, which means accessible to you within 24 to 48 hours. And whether you use a local bank, whether you use one of those online savings accounts, it has to be liquid. And unfortunately, that's pretty unsexy right now for the interest rates that you're getting, but that's the reality of it. And the rule of thumb is that, you know, 3 to 6 months typically of expenses need to be reserved for that emergency fund. That depends on your situation. Are you single? Do you have a significant other? Are you dual income earners? Do you have children? Are you working on commission, or is your income more stable? All of these questions you need to be asking yourself, because I can tell you, all right, well, I think you should have 3 to 6 months, but if you're waking up in the middle of the night in cold sweats worrying about that you don't have enough money in the bank, well, then that's not the right number for you. But once you find that number, think about everything above and beyond that emergency fund as investable assets that can be working harder for you. It just depends on what objective you're working for. If you need a down payment for a house in a year or two, well, that needs to be quite a bit more conservative than if you're saving for retirement that's occurring in 30 years.
His name is Mike Beneziak. The company is Legacy Financial Group. They're based in Urbandale. And what we're talking about is financial security and also financial literacy. And one of the cool things that we thought about was when Mike approached us and said, you know, our group does this for free of charge. We aren't out there selling anything. And it's that kind of information that might just save your family. Mike, thanks so very much for visiting with us.
Yep, thank you so much. And please come check out our website. Our website is LFG Planners. So just like Legacy Financial Group, LFGPLANNERS.com, to find out more about our wellness programs, our offerings, and ways to get in touch with us. You can also find us on Facebook as well. So search us out. We're more than happy to help. Financial stress in the workplace is a huge, huge issue that leads to loss of productivity, more absenteeism, healthcare claims, etc. And this is one easy, very cheap step in the right direction for you as an employer and your employees.
Mike Beneziak, Legacy Financial Group. We've got to step aside for a few minutes. Hang in there with us, and thanks for being with Insight on Business, the News Hour.